Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Going to have to quickly accelerate the simulated season because it's really only a month old since we started paying attention to it, and now that I think baseball is coming back, we got to get this thing out of the way because I want to talk about real baseball. So here's the deal.
Absolutely.
While we're having the show today, I will just be simulating games and giving you the highlights from those games. So that's something that we're going to do. I made a deal moments ago before we went on the air and acquired a guy that you talked about like crazy, Craig. He was offered to us going into the game that would have started everything off today as we fast forward. Michael Lorenzen has been acquired from the Cincinnati Reds. He's in the bullpen now, and we dealt away a minor leaguer Travis Swaggerty from Single A. And now, as I begin to do the simulation, and I will jump in from time to time and tell you how the Bucks are doing. They're 44-38 as we stand right now going into the 28th of June. I will start doing that right now, but let's get to the important stuff. Baseball's back. Why don't you think that it's actually going to happen? Because I'm in hook, line, and sinker. It's brought me back in.
Well, the reason I just think it's not going to happen, and it's not because of maybe anything that happens within baseball. I think it's going to be the powers that be in government forces from the outside. I know that they want, there's probably revenues and kickbacks or whatever's going on. But you're talking about Arizona getting shut down. They just shut down all the bars in Allegheny County again. Not allowed to serve any alcohol at any of the restaurants. So we're just like taking steps back. So when I see stuff like steps get taken back, it's like, how is this going to be better in a month? Believe me, do I want it to be better in a month? Absolutely. I want to get out of my freaking house. I want to be able to go places and do things.
Okay, well, here. First of all, I'm going to walk you off the bridge. Right after I tell you that the first four games that I simulated here, the Pirates have won all four. They are a half a game out of the wild card now as the month has ended and we're into July and are currently a game and a half out of first place in the NL Central. So that should get you excited about the sim season. Listen, and I don't want to sound like I'm callous, that I don't care about what's going on in the world, that COVID-19 is not a real thing. It is a real thing. The flu has it's got a factor of two that describes how easily it's contracted, and COVID's a factor of three, which means it's worse. That said, in states where people are wearing masks and they're actually observing the social distancing, things are going just fine. Some of these southern states never really hit their peak. They open up a little too early. And the other thing I want to point out is this. The CDC, I'm going to use the CDC's numbers right here, Craig. I'm going to explain this to you. The CDC's own numbers said just last week that instead of it being 2.3 million people that were actually infected, the real number is 23 million people. I think it's up to 2.5. You can actually make that 25. They said make it a factor of 10 in terms of the people because they've gone out now. They've tested blood samples when people donate blood. They've gone out and they've done all these testing in giant pools all over the United States of America, and they've realized that it's at least 10 times, if not more, the amount of people infected than what are actually being tested. Now, that might be scary to you, but when I hear if 25 million people are infected, and then I look at what the death toll is, this has a death rate of only 0.3%. We're not talking, it used to be 3% or 5%. It's 0.3% now. Now we're talking about the fact that it's, instead of it being a 3 in 100 chance that you would die if you catch this, it's actually a 3 in 1,000 chance. And half of the people that die from it are elderly or in nursing homes. Now, those are actual facts put out by the CDC. Is it a scary thing? Yes. But I feel like the media is trying to scare the hell out of you right now. And I don't think Major League Baseball, unless somehow the public perception becomes so harsh that that they are restricted from playing. I don't think Major League Baseball is going to give up all that money when those kind of facts are sitting in front of them. I've read several comments from different general managers and owners who have basically just said what I just said, and they're saying it this week when being asked about the things that you're concerned about, and they're quoting those numbers and saying, this is not as bad. We're seeing the science. We're not going to react to what's going on in the press, because I'm going to tell you something. The news wants to scare you. As much as Fox News tries to scare all the right-wingers, CNN and MSNBC try to scare all the left-wingers. And ever since 9/11, and I've told this story before when I was in the media around the turn of the millennium, when that happened, they realized they could make so much money. AM radio made more money than it ever made because people are afraid. 24-hour news stations finally made the profits when they were really basically breaking even. And they were publicly telling all of us broadcasters and all the program directors and everything else, you need to keep finding the scariest thing in the world to get people to be afraid. Nobody even mentioned COVID for 2 weeks during the George Floyd protest. Now all that's dying down a little bit. We're right back to COVID again. I understand this is a scary thing. I don't think baseball is going to shut down, though, because of panic. And I feel like this is more, when you show me the death rate's up, then I'll become afraid. When you're showing me the death rate is dropping and it turns out far more people have been sick, then I'm not as nervous about it. And that's not a political statement. That's just somebody looking at the CDC stats and saying, I just don't think it's, and listening to what general managers are saying. GMs and owners are saying just what I said right here.
I don't know. I just see that if there's one case that's like bad enough, like say a coach or even a player gets put on a ventilator or something, I don't know. So I'm just staying cautiously optimistic at this point in time. I'm still following what's going on with baseball, but I'm just, until I see the players on there on the field for the first game, then I will actually believe that it's happening. And as of right now, I mean, we're gonna have players reporting here in the next couple of days, not only to Pittsburgh, but also to Altoona. So we're going to see. I mean, there's two of the guys that we traded away in our virtual season may have some pretty big roles on the team this year. Travis Swaggerty, he's going to be over in the player pool in Altoona. And Cabrian Hayes, everybody's talking like he's going to be starting from day one this year from all the reports I'm hearing from all the media. And everybody has their opinions on that. But so, like I said, I'm excited about road baseball news, but I'm just going to stay cautiously optimistic.
Do you think, honestly, that Cabrian Hayes would be up? I mean, here's the weird thing about this. Yeah, you've got this 60-player pool, but in reality, you still, all the player pool, I think, has confused a lot of people because they're trying to figure out how much this has changed. All the player pool really is that's all you're allowed to trade from. But what's crazy about the player pool is you can actually change your player pool. It's crazy, but it's true. I was looking this up today that as these rules come out, you could change the player pool. The player pool is just who's allowed to show up and practice. All right. So, the whole idea is you can only trade from your player pool, but you could change your player pool and then work out a trade if there was a guy that you wanted to move. There are some teams that most teams have not made it 60 men total. So they can add to the player pool. Now, some teams are as low as 44 guys right now that have been announced. I've seen that's the lowest number right now. 44 guys announced for their 60-man player pool because they have to submit 60 names. But after they submit the 60 names, they can change it throughout the season. So even though they might have 60 names on paper that they've handed in, then the team goes out and announces, well, these 44 guys are going to be showing up. And we don't know who the other 16 are going to be because we might change what we're going to do. But these 44 are going to show up for summer training now is what they're calling it. And then the thing is, the guy has to be on the 40-man roster to still be on your team. The real change is that you can have 30 guys when you break camp. But you're going to start service time if you start doing that. Does it really make sense in the situation that the Pirates are in right now where he keeps calling it a build, Ben Cherington, but he didn't go make any moves in the offseason? You're not winning anything this year. Do you really think it makes sense to start the clock on Cabrian Hayes right now? I doubt that he's up there and he's playing. Who's making that comment that he's going to be up and he's going to be playing? Who's saying that?
Dejan Kovacevic from DK Sports.
I don't think he's right. He's not right all the time. I know you love him, but he's not right all the time.
I know, but here's the thing: is that Adam Barry from the MLB Network, the Pirates reporter for the MLB Network, is putting that out there. And it just kind of seems like everybody wants to see that happen because I think they're worried about him regressing without getting at bats because they were going to put him down back into AAA to get some at bats.
Yeah, but he's going to get at bats. He'll get at bats, being part of the group that's at the alternate facility in Altoona. That's fine, but he's not going to be on the major league roster. Are you saying he's going to be on the major league roster, or he's going to be in Altoona getting at bats?
They're saying he's going to be the starting third baseman to begin the year.
That's a terrible decision. I'm going to go on record right now and say that's a terrible decision.
I don't agree with it.
I'm not a big fan of that at all.
No, I don't see the point of it because that was my big thing is that you have like major league ready guys, especially you got some good pitchers down there. If they do some like inter squad games, I've seen some inter squad games down at spring training and stuff. It's not like these guys don't take this seriously. You know what I mean? They're trying out their pitches. They're doing whatever they can to get the guys out. They're playing hard against each other, you know? So he's going to get at bats. He's going to get live at bats. And is it better to, you know, get live at bats there, or would it be better to get live at bats in what may be like a truncated season or may just be a goofy season? And what if he gets off to a slow start? What if he gets hurt? You know, all kinds of things that could go wrong by starting his clock for what I feel is like absolutely no reason. And it's for other reasons. It's because you said, does this season like actually, I mean, it counts. The stats will count.
Oh, it counts. But if you're not going to win a World Series, then what's the point? If you're not going to win your division, what's the point? Do you really think that Cabrian Hayes added to your team wins you the National League Central or one of the two National League wildcard spots? Do you really believe that?
I don't believe it. I'm just stating of what the Pirate fandom, all the fans out there, the fan base is speaking as to, you know, what they want to see happen. But it's to me, it's like almost like I know it's going to be the short season and they're talking about how, you know, it's anybody's game because now it's a sprint and not a marathon and they're trying to make it exciting and they want to, you know, bring, you know, people back and viewership and all this kind of stuff. You still put the Pirates, unfortunately, I love the Pirates. You put the Pirates, even if they make the playoffs, in a 7-game series against the Dodgers, and they will get their butts handed to them.
So, yeah, it's anybody's thing. Anybody can catch fire, and anybody can make into the postseason. Sure, you want to believe that, that's fine. They don't mean teams like the Pirates that finished the way that the Pirates finished and don't have a bullpen and didn't go on and make any moves in the offseason and probably regressed. They probably regressed on paper. Look at the moves we had to make in our simulation just to make them good, which, by the way, they're now 13 games over 500. It is July the 21st. The Pirates sit 13 games over 500 at 56-43, 2 games back out of the National League Central. They are in second place in front of the Cubs by 2.5 games, and they hold the second wild card spot by 2.5 games right now. So make me GM, and then we can go for it for 60 games. But I haven't seen anything be done here that's going to – I haven't seen anything happen here that makes me believe that the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to not only make the playoffs but have any chance in hell of doing anything in the postseason. And so why would you start the clock on this kid? He's either a valuable trade piece or he's a finished product that you're ready to start with. But do you think he's a finished product? Let's change what I'm saying here. If he's a finished product and him coming up to the majors is the only step that's left for him, there's nothing else for him to learn in the minors. Is that the case?
That's not the case. His glove, everybody knows his glove is ready. He's won the Gold Glove in a minor league the past 3 years in a row. Like it's an upgraded defense. He did have some injuries last year. We've talked about this before. He did have some injuries back down in AAA last year and struggled. I mean, I think he hit like 265 for the season, but that was with like the injuries at the beginning of the season. He came on hot, you know, the last couple months. But if he was going to start the year in the majors this year, I'm thinking that, and I know it's a different regime and everything, but if anybody thought he was ready, he would have been in a September call-up. He would have been, you know what, this is a guy that's, you know, he's right there. He's going to have nothing else to prove. So we're just going to bring him up for September, give him a taste of the show, and then we'll get started next year. You know, he'll be there with the big club for a little while because he's going to be in the, because I guess we're doing so far, they're having 40 guys come to 38 guys or however many it is come to Pittsburgh. And they're going to have them work out there for a little bit. And then whoever is going to be on, like, you know, the 30 guys for the beginning, the rest of the guys are just going to get shipped out to Altoona. And I think that Cabrian Hayes is going to be one of those guys.
That's what I think is going to happen. The idea that he's going to be on the team is just absolutely ridiculous. By the way, the Pirates came out of the All-Star break in which only Keona Kella was a he was the only participant from the Buccos on the in the All-Star game as a closer. Came out and won three in a row against the Nationals, three in a row against the Padres, and currently sit tied in first place in the NL Central, having won eight of their last 10 to finally catch the Reds at 59-43 and continue to hold a wild card spot, but now it's the number one wild card spot on the team. This is why I should be running this team. This is why I should be running this team, man.
And it's like you said, it's not like we made like a ton of moves. I mean, we made the ones that were offered to us, and we brought in even just some, like, in our minds, some filling guys. Some guys that, you know, you weren't ready to compete with when we said, go out and get Yasiel Puig and Scooter Jeanette and whoever it may be. I mean, it wasn't like these are the guys that are going to win you the World Series, but they may be a little bit better than the guys that, you know, they chose to bring in, or could, you know, at this point in time, they could still bring in. Because, I mean, supposedly they're going to have they're talking about having like the free agents be down working out in Nashville or something and have two teams worth of free agents down there for them to be able to pull in a free agent pool or something. I don't know if that's going to come to fruition or not.
I want to give you the update right now on what's going on in the sim. Okay. Like I said, we're finishing this thing tonight. All right. So we ended up, we made it to first place and then we went basically 500 through August when it was all said and done. And we then lost 7 of our first 9 in September.
Oh my God.
And the Reds have pulled away. They are 6 games up. Now, the good news is we've won our last 5 games after that first stretch, and we sit on the 14th of September on our way to Wrigley for a 4-game set. We are 2 games up on the Cubs in the loss column, a game and a half up overall against the Cubs going into a 4-game set. We have one of the 2 wild card spots. The Cubs are the first team trying to get in with us, and the Braves and us would be the 2 wild card teams at this point, sitting at 82-67. So it's getting exciting. So I'm going to have the conclusion for you here, and then we're going to wrap up the show. But before we get to that, Craig, I want to know what you think of the new rules. Are you really opposed to the idea of putting a guy out on second base in the extra innings? I'm curious what your thoughts are.
That is, oh my God, that is the dumbest, most idiotic. I would rather end in a tie. I mean, even if it's going to be for this year, I would rather do what they do. And I think it's the KBO or one of them, or the Taiwan. I don't know which one it is. But no matter, it's like at the end of 12 innings, the game's over. It's a tie. I mean, I would rather see that, because at least it would end with baseball. Putting somebody on second base who did not earn his spot at second base, that's not baseball. That's like, that's something you do when the games don't matter. So, I mean, I can see them, you know what, do it this year. I don't care. Because to me, like I said before, do the games matter? Yeah, to a degree. But do they really matter? Kind of not a little bit.
The Pirates just took 3 out of 4 from the Cubs and Wrigley, are now 3.5 out of first place, and look like they have an elimination, or they have a magic number of 7. Actually, 6. I'm looking at it right now. They have a magic number of 6 making the postseason as a wild card team. Exciting stuff. And you know what they finish with at the end of the year? This is what's crazy. They're at home at the end of the year with the Cubs for 2 and the Reds for 4. So I'm very curious to see whether or not we're actually... Nope, we got swept by Milwaukee in Milwaukee right before we got home. That's so Pirate.
Just living the Pirate life right there.
That is so Pirate. 5.5 back from the Reds. The elimination for number for us. The Reds have a magic number of 2 with 6 games left to go. We're still in the wild card. We're a half game up on the Cubs, and we got 2 against them. So this is going to get crazy here. Let's see what ends up happening. We're gonna sim the 2. The game 1 is Chris Archer. Game 2 is Trevor Williams. But I got a day off here, so I'm trying to figure out if we should kind of like mess with our rotation. Nah, I'm going to do it. We're just going to start with this rotation. Let's see what happens. They lose to the Cubs 6-5, and they lose to the Cubs 10-0. So they go out weekly at the very end of the season. As we go into the final day of the season, they are... I think we're eliminated. Let me see. No, we still have a chance at the wild card. We are tied with the Braves going into the last game of the season at 87-74 for the second wild card spot. Going into the last day, and we have to play Cincinnati at home. Give me your prediction, my friend. Would the Pirates pull it out and make the postseason in this game?
No.
No?
No.
We lose. Atlanta loses. Game 163. I'm not joking. In Atlanta. This is amazing. We sim this entire season and it goes to game 163 for the second wild card spot against the Braves. Oh, we're going to have to, let's see what we can do here. Maybe we'll change who our pitcher is going to be. It's going to be Trevor Williams on the mound. I'm going to quick manage this one. What the heck? Let's have some fun. All right. Then we'll end the show. All right. So we're playing here. We could go with Williams or we could put Alex Wood on 4 days rest. Williams went 12-7 with a 3.49 ERA in the season. He actually finished better than Wood, who went 11-12 with a 4.72. I think you're going with Trevor Williams.
I think you're on Trevor Williams.
Trevor Williams against Max Fried, who went 7-8 this year with a 3.46. It's all hands on deck. Malik Smith is dealing with some sort of injury, so we're going to pull him out of the game. And we're going to put somebody else out in center field here to try to give ourselves a little boost. We'll move Frazier back into center like we did at the beginning of the year and get Puig back into the lineup. He wouldn't normally go up against a lefty. And on the bench, even though he only came up for September call-ups, just so you know, Jose Ozuna is back up on the team and available. All right, so we're going to see what happens here. It's all for this. It's amazing. And we're going to see how this goes. And after the first inning, we have no score here in this game. Second inning, Pirates go down 1-2-3. The Braves get Dansby Swanson on, advance him to third with two outs. Williams will pitch to Tyler Flowers and walk him. Here comes Fried, the pitcher, and he gets a base hit, and the Pirates are losing 1-0 here in the bottom of the second, and then we get the out. Stallings leads off with a single, a walk by Williams after Puig flies out. Kevin Newman comes up and singles. The bases are loaded. Now Brian Reynolds with a single. This game is tied at 1-1 here in the top of the third. Bell with a single. This game is 2-1 Pirates. A strikeout of Miguel Sano. Scooter Gennett flies out deep. 2-1 here in the top of the third inning of game 163. Going to the bottom of the third inning, Nick Markakis is hit by a pitch by Williams, and then he walks Freddie Freeman, gets a strikeout of Acuna, gets Ozuna to fly out. Dansby Swanson comes up with runners on first and second and strikes out. And the Buccos continue to lead going to the top of the fourth. Adam Frazier grounds out, a strikeout for Stallings, and Puig strikes out. We go to the bottom of the fourth inning. Austin Riley grounds out. Tyler Flowers grounds out. Max Fried comes up and flies out. And we're going to the top of the fifth. It's still 2-1 Pirates in game 163. So it's a whole bag of marbles here. I believe everything is. I'm taking Williams out right now. Am I nuts? Like, I want to take him out. I want to pinch hit for him, like, right now. And just, like, use a second starter and have Alex Wood come in and pitch. Right? Like, let's just burn it all. And then we'll figure it out when we get to the postseason, right? Am I nuts? Tell me what you think.
You got to win.
Okay, fine. We're gonna bring in a pinch hitter then. We're going to start off with Ozuna. He's going to lead off this inning. He pops out. Ground out and line out, and it goes 1-2-3, and I look like an idiot. And we're going to go get a pitching change now, and we're going to bring in Mitch Keller. He was in the bullpen. We moved him to the bullpen coming into this series. Okay. Keller's going to come in, go 1-2-3 through the inning. Bell, strikeout, a walk to Sano, a fly out, and Frazier comes up and strikes out. Keller into his next inning. He's got to go through the 5, 6, and 7 guys. We're going to let him pitch. Strikeout, fly out. Oh, he's looking great coming out of the bullpen. The realization that Mitch Keller in game 163 just came in and went. It was 6 up, 6 down right in the middle in the 5th and the 6th inning. Into the top of the 7th, Stallings is going to come up and fly out. We're going to pinch hit for Keller, and we'll bring in, let's have Murphy lead off. The John Ryan Murphy, he's gotten us some big hits before. He draws a walk. Big stuff right there. Okay. We got a strikeout and another strikeout. Okay. That didn't go very well. All right. Hold on a second here. And we're going to bring in your guy that we acquired. What do you think? Okay. Or no. We could bring in Wood, or we could bring in your guy Lorenzen. What do you think?
Oof. I'd like to bring in Lorenzen.
Lorenzen's coming in. Okay. We're leading 2-1.
That guy throws heat.
Bottom of the 7th inning. They just sung the 7th inning stretch here in Atlanta. Ground out. Pinch hitter comes in for the pitcher. Fly out. Ozzie Albies is up. Strikeout. 1-2-3. We go to the top of the 8th inning here. in game 163. Brian Reynolds comes to the plate and hits a double right away. Josh Bell comes to the plate and pops out. Miguel Sano, that's a double, and the Pirates lead 3-1 here in the top of the eighth inning. Scooter Gennett strikes out. Adam Frazier walks. Up comes Jacob Stallings, and he hits a single and drives in another run. It's 4-1. 4-1 Pirates here in game 163. Pitching change, a ground out, and we're into the bottom of the eighth inning, and it's time for us to go to this amazing bullpen. We're going Vizcaino, who's been a setup guy all year long. He's got a whip of 1.23. Ground out, a double given up to Freddie Freeman. Acuna flies out, Freeman to third, and a fly out. We're into the top of the ninth inning. We get the pinch hit for Vizcaino. We're going to bring in Eric Gonzalez, your boy. He's going to ground out, a pop out for Kevin Newman, and Brian Reynolds is going to hit a single. He's going to steal second base. Bell's going to walk. Sano to the plate. Grounds out. We go to the bottom of the ninth inning with Keona Kella coming in to win game 163 for the Pirates in our simulation. How are you feeling right now? How are you feeling right now as this is happening if you're a Pirates fan? Like, I'll be like, would you just take me through your feelings right now as Dansby Swanson comes to the plate here and you got a 3-run lead in the bottom of the ninth in Atlanta, and you are going to, even though you lost game 162 of the season, you back into game 163 and you're winning on the road right now.
This would be like pinnacle height of like, you know, Pirate fandom. It would take me back to like 2013. I probably wouldn't have been able to sit like this entire game. I would have been like on like pins and needles. I wouldn't even care if we went up 10-0 in the first inning.
Swanson just flew out to center field. Up comes Austin Riley. Riley is going to strike out. There's two gone, and Tyler Flowers comes to the plate, and that's a base hit in the right. They're going to bring in a pinch hitter. John Carmargo comes to the plate. He's got 11 home runs on the season and 362 at-bats. He's only hitting .216. Two outs with Flowers on first base, and that ball is popped up. Underneath it is Newman. He puts it away, and the Buccos go to the postseason winning game 163 on the road against the Atlanta Braves. Ah, it actually happened during the show.
Into Bucktober, baby. There we go.
Bucktober, baby. Congratulations. All right, well, we're going to get out of here then. Do you want to do the playoffs now? You want me to just, you want? We'll save the playoffs for next week? We'll do the playoffs next week. It'll be fun. When we're doing the show,
we'll save the playoffs for next week.
Because
I mean, like I said, they're gonna report back to camp, and then Pittsburgh's gonna be shut down again by that point. So yeah, we'll be good.
Then we'll have the full playoffs. We got the Pirates in the playoffs. They will play the Chicago Cubs in Wrigley for the one game wild card. The winner goes on to play the Dodgers in LA. The Reds and the Nationals are the other two teams in the postseason. In the National League, in the American League, the Yankees and Twins will play each other, and the winner of Blue Jays and Astros will go on to play the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. So that's the postseason right now.
That sounds good, brother. That sounds good, man.
Listen, I just want to conclude this show with something very important I want to tell you. One, baseball's coming back. Stop being so negative. Two, Brian Hayes is not going to play on the Major League squad this year. It's just not happening. And all these people are saying that it's going to happen are wrong. And if it does happen, I have serious questions for Ben Cherington and Pirates leadership. And three, we never got to it, so I'm going to give you 2 minutes right now. Sum it up for me. What the hell just happened in the front office?
Well, but here's the thing is, everybody's all butthurt about Jeff Banister getting fired and everything. And I'm like, he was a special assistant to the GM. Right. Don't you think this GM wants his own special assistant? And here's the bad part is, and they're talking about how it's like about nothing being cheap and all this kind of crap. Guess what? All of these guys are getting paid through October 31st, and their families have health care through the end of the year.
They're fine.
They said that they were trying to do this to give them time to start looking for new jobs and to talk to some of their contacts for at the end of the season when, you know, there may be other reshufflings in other areas. So instead of firing them in, you know, October when the season's over, they were just like, you know what, why would we wait until then? Let's just do it now. Right. And they're still going to get paid anyway. So to me, I don't see it. Like, they just made it as like a big, like, you know, spend nutting, win nutting type of thing. But to me, it was stuff that they needed these guys around because they wanted to see who was going to be in the player pool. They wanted to see who was going to be in spring training, who was going to be in the draft. Like, these guys have done all this work. So you're going to pick the brains of these guys who've been working in the system And then when you're done with them, unfortunately, baseball is a business, but they weren't jerks about it. Like I said, they're going to get paid through the rest right. of the season, and then they're going to get like, so, I mean, it's just a restructuring an organization. And it, if they would have, you know, gotten rid of Huntington before the end of last season, and then these are moves that could have possibly happened, you know, after, you know, could have been interviewing some guys or bringing some guys in at the winter meeting and stuff. But basically, we didn't even have, you know, people at the winter meeting.
No, no, no. There was no way to get anything done. So this is just catching up. And he, and it's, it, it makes perfect sense to go and make this move. Anyway, this is Bucks in the Basement. Thanks for listening.
Now I see the change.